Thank you for downloading today's message. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you and your family. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Take care.
I just want to, I'm going to run through some scriptures and you can write it down if you are a Bible reader. But this is not my main text. I want to just show you how this concept, and these are just a few that I pulled out. And I tell you what, if I wanted to, I could pull out more, because the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is filled with this concept of thanksgiving. Do y'all follow that? Yeah. Check this out. The book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. No, 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 no. Give thanks only when things are good. No, give thanks when I did get the 7,000. Y'all with me today? When does it say to give thanks? In all circumstances. Here's why. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you ever wanted to know what God's will is for your life? Come on, raise your hands if you want to know. I'll tell you right now. It's to give thanks in every circumstance. Notice, you, when you say, I want to know God's will, you're saying, I want to know the circumstance. God says, don't worry about the circumstance. Worry about the attitude in the circumstance. My will is not, circumstances are going to come. You should know that. But my will is how you react. If, oh my. This whispering church got to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm telling y'all. Did y'all get that? I want you to understand that, because everybody wants God to reveal his will. In other words, tell me what to do. You're going to experience life like everybody else. Everybody's going to have trouble. Everybody's going to have lows and highs. Everybody will have decisions to make. Everybody's given skills. What you do with them is God's free will to you to say, hey, I've created you. Go out there. Use your skills and gifts for me. But things will happen along the way. And he says, if you want to know my will, it's not to come and hand feed you every direction of your life, but it's to give you an attitude and a way of thinking so that you will be able to navigate through life. You see, change comes when the mind has been renewed. And so he says, be thankful in some circumstance. When I secured a bag. When everybody liked me. When the family's good. In all circumstances, he said, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that the equation of just saying merely thank you is not what this is saying. This is, as I go through circumstances, this is indicating to me that this must be an attitude I have. I'll go further. Let me show you some more scriptures. Amen. Look at this one. In the book of Psalms 107, verse number 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, God is doing, and so as he is doing, you should live in an attitude of giving thanks. Let me say it this way. In other words, you are waiting for something to happen for you, but you're blinded to the fact that something is always happening for you. And because it is always, God is keeping you right now. God is making a way out of no way right now. God is opening doors. God is reversing curses. God is, there's so much that is happening for you right now that if you were to become aware of it, you would be in a constant state of thanksgiving. Do you follow that? Look what else the Word of God says. The Word of God says this. The Word of God says in the book of Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks when? Always. No, just Sunday. Always. No, just when? Always. Giving thanks when? Always. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This one's interesting. It talks like this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. In other words, the Bible talks like this. You see, the Bible comes and says, give thanks always. Give God thanks in all circumstance. Don't be anxious for anything. Give God thanks. You know, that's the Bible talk. In other words, when we go through problems, anybody here ever go through problems? You run and you spend big bucks for therapy. You sit with the therapist and you like, listen, I need you to listen to me because I'm going through. Now, it's almost like the Bible is like this. If you were to go to God with the same problem as the therapist is sitting there, where were you as a child and writing all this, you know, doing all the therapy stuff? If you go to God and he was the therapist and you say, God, I'm going through something, he'll say, be anxious for nothing. You go and you say, God, my circumstance is crazy. And he say, here's what you ought to do. Give thanks. God, my family's falling apart. That's an opportunity to raise your hands and work. And it's almost like, God, what are you talking about? Well, here's what. You know, I was telling first service, I told on myself, hallelujah. It's like having a cheat sheet. Anybody ever took a test and kind of knew the answers before? Everybody here just got their degrees rightly? I, unlike all of you saints, was a sinner. And there were times that when I was in a classroom, I didn't depend on the Holy Spirit because I knew I didn't study the night before. So there was no going to God to help you find what's not there in your head. Hallelujah. So I did what I felt necessary. There were times I located the answer before the test. Hallelujah. And when you have the answers before the test, you move different. Y'all coming out the woodworks all of a sudden. Y'all are showing up. I knew I wasn't the only one. Hallelujah. You move different. You walk into the classroom and you know I'm gonna pass this. No, they ain't gonna catch me. You are so confident that this is a done deal that you even put a couple wrong answers. Got another one. Y'all came. I'm finding you. And I'm not advocating cheating, but what I'm trying to do is give you an example of when you kind of know the solution to a problem before it has occurred, you move different. Now, we've got a God who tells you, be anxious for nothing. The reason he can talk like that is because your circumstance is not controlled by anybody else other than him. Y'all ain't hearing me in this place. So when you go to the therapist is sitting there trying to figure out with you what's going on in life. God don't need to do that. God says, I got this under control. As a matter of fact, because of what I'm doing, you should raise your hands and begin. If you only knew what I am doing, not is going to do or has done, if you know what I'm currently doing, if you only got a glimpse of what heaven is doing right now, you would raise your hands and begin to tear this place up. No. Do you believe that? No. Do you believe that? You know, I had to go through that even as early as this week. You know, my default mode is to complain, then pray. I tell everybody off, complain, give the problem, and then remember God. I'm the only one who I got to preach that out of you too. Can I just get a witness quick so we can move on? Good. And this week, you know, there's some things that I am trying to birth in my life that I feel the Lord has placed me here to do. And I've begun to get frustrated. You ever get frustrated with something that God gave to you? I mean, you kind of just took over God's plans for your life. And like, I got this, God. You didn't even have a plan in the first place. You've never had something God put in your spirit to do, and then you took over. And then when you took over, you got to make it happen. And in the process of doing this, I'm so frustrated and I'm mad. I'm like, God, why is this this? And when you don't depend on God, you start looking to everybody else to help you. And you, I'm telling you this, I've learned this from experience. When you begin to look to other people before you consult God, it'll cost you time, energy, money at times. A lot of money. When God been saying, I needed you to ask me in the first place and I'd have shown you. And I was complaining and God stopped me and he said, I need you to look around. He said, everything you're complaining about is actually setting you in a position for you to be blessed. But because you keep focusing on one thing that you can't do on your own, you forgot that in the first place, there was nothing in you that could have done it. The whole reason you are even where you are was because I brought you there. But now that you're taking your eyes off me, you're trying to depend on your own strength. And I'm glad that you've come to a place to realize that inside of you, you don't have the capability to match the vision of where I'm taking you. So I need you to die to self right now and begin to look around and let your circumstance begin to tell you that God is putting you in places that you can't manage because he's setting you up to use you. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about God put you in a place so that he could show his hand mighty? Because when they look back, they're going to say, how did it happen with you? It didn't. It was God. It was God. It was God. And I begun to change my perspective. I said, Father, thank you for these problems. Change my habit. I begun to say, God, thank you for these problems. Thank you for them because they're going to show me who you are. They're going to reveal who you are in me. So this word, Thanksgiving, cannot just be just mere saying. In other words, it is so prevalent throughout the Bible that the Bible is trying to tell you and I that Thanksgiving is an attitude. We should live with the attitude of gratitude. How many of you got an attitude today? How many of you next to somebody with an attitude? While sitting next to somebody. The Bible says you should have an attitude, but it should be the attitude of gratitude. When you go to work, be thankful. It is not just an attitude, it is a character trait. What you should try to develop in you while you're trying to be an honest person and you're trying to be a person of whatever else, add to that a person that is always thankful in every circumstance. It is trying to tell you that of all the habits you develop, develop the habit of giving thanks. Make sure that that is synonymous with who you are as a person. And the thing about this, it is wonderful because I look at, somebody said it this way. They said, if you can't give God thanks because you haven't seen where you are supposed to go, don't worry about where you're supposed to go. Thank God for what you escaped. Said nothing to me in this place. Don't thank God for all of the stuff you done created for him to make come to pass. Thank God for all the stuff he done pulled you out of. Amen. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me in this church. Hallelujah. Let me tell you why that's important. Because poverty breeds lack of education. When somebody can't even eat, they can't sit and learn. When you can't sit and learn, you don't set yourself up to succeed. When you don't have a means of income, you do other things. Poverty breeds crime. Yep. When you don't have the know-how, poverty breeds diseases. Things that you can walk into the hospital for and get a pill for, people in other parts of this world die from. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? And so just by mere virtue of where you live, your problem in this America is, God, would you please show me who to marry? Or God, why did I marry this one? Hallelujah. God, would you please touch my boss? They're so mean. Making $70,000 a year. God, you see I'm being persecuted. That's a nice paycheck for persecution. That would be, for 70 grand, I'll take a little bit of persecution too. You tell that to the man living off of a dollar, you tell that man you are being persecuted. I'm telling you something in this church today. Americans, we are ungrateful. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? And our problems are strange problems. We don't know what we've escaped. I look back on my life. I grew up in New York, but thank God I've never had to, you know, fight to defend myself and beat anybody up or got involved in gang activity and all that. And sometimes I look back and I said, God, how did I escape that when it was all around me? There's a God who will keep you that in the middle of... God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that God, I had the option to choose if I want to eat or not before going to school. You know how much we've escaped, and the same nations, you see, we've been taught to hate our nation. But I want to tell you this, these holidays, they have meanings. But the commercialization of America has stolen the meanings out of these holidays. Veterans Day, that's a good holiday. Memorial Day, those are good holidays, amen? And Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Christmas is a great holiday. The problem is we don't even see the meaning of the thing no more because Thanksgiving has become 50% off a new TV. Thanksgiving to us has become... Some of us wouldn't even lock in with our Bible to give thanks, but we lock in on what's coming on sale, and y'all got so much of it. You got Black Friday, what is it, Small Business Saturday, something, and then the church jumped in and said Giving Tuesday. Why we get the last? After y'all and spent all your money, hey. Y'all hear what I'm saying in this place? But Thanksgiving is something that I am glad somebody stopped and said, as a nation, we need to stop complaining. We need to have a day, at least a day, where we look at all that God has done for us as a nation and say, thank you, God. Thanksgiving is a good holiday, but these holidays have been stolen, and the meaning of it has been ripped from us. It's true. We've been told our problem is a politician. If you believe that, then you believe your solution is a politician. Oh my God. I know people are mad at me because we live in an era where if you don't agree with me, you must go. That's the beauty of our nation, y'all. I don't know why I'm talking about America today. I feel like I'm running for Congress or something. Let me tell you, the beauty of America is that I can say what I want without having the fear of you hurting me. So if I want to run around and say I'm a Democrat, I am free to say that. If I want to run around and say I will vote for Trump, I am free to say that. I am free to say whatever I want. Not trying to tell you how to vote or who to endorse, but I am free to make my... It's the beauty of this nation. And just by default, we have escaped a lot. It warrants praise. Anyway, let me move on. Let me get to what I'm saying. In the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verse number 1, David understood this. And David said, and I'm putting it in the King James Version because it's a little bit more anointed in that version today. Nobody laughs at it. Y'all just a rough crowd, boy. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, you with me? Hallelujah. Look at what David says. He said, bless the Lord. Oh, hold on, hold on. I know y'all ready. I I know. We're going to wrap up in a minute. Let me explain something to you. He said, bless the Lord. And then he says, my soul must do that. Now, you know, that's we like that part. Let me tell you why. Because, if you know, if I just say, hey, everybody, let your soul bless the Lord. You'd be like, all right, cool. Even know what that looks like. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. But David didn't stop there, because the problem is not my soul really blessing the Lord. The problem is all that is with me. The problem is, why when pastors say, let's worship the Lord, my hands refuse to go up? Why is it that my mind fights? Why is it that everything inside of me don't want to praise the God? Because you better know that everything inside of you is fallen. Your flesh do not want to give glory to God. Everything inside of you wants to go opposite to God. That's why he's redeemed you and regenerated your spirit. And David said, as long as God is who he is to me, bless the Lord, oh my soul that has been redeemed. And the rest of you, all that is within me, my hands will bless the Lord. My lips will bless the Lord. My thoughts will bless the Lord. Everything about me and all that is within me, bless his name. Then he said, that ain't enough. Look at the next verse. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul. And do this. Forget not, come on somebody, all his benefits. Oh my gosh, hallelujah. The problem with why we don't rejoice and shout and get excited and go evangelize and be part of church anymore and be part of what God is doing anymore, the problem is because we forgot. Tell your neighbor, you forgot. Hallelujah. But God, hallelujah, has given you many benefits, hallelujah, that if you were to only take time to remind yourself of who he is, your whole life would change. But David does it for you. Look at what David did. See, this book is in this chapter. You can read it, because we ain't gonna read all of it, but read it. It's broken down in three parts. David starts with the personal. Bless God for these personal reasons. Then he goes into bless God for what he does for humanity. Then he goes dimensional. He goes personal. He goes international. Then he goes dimensional. And the end, he says, bless the Lord, you angels in heavens. This is powerful stuff. And so he's talking here. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Let's list them. Look at verse number 3. He says, he is the God who forgive it all. Let me say that in plain English. He forgive your sins. Iniquities is too cute. The church nowadays make mistakes. And we struggle. It's called sin. And in the middle of it is I. Oh, y'all know what you know. Not you, only me. I know some of the sins I've committed. I know some of the sins I pray I don't commit. I know what God has pulled me out of. Hallelujah. Hey. It is the grace of God that has people like us in this room and don't destroy us, that we can actually give him worship and praise. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It is God's grace that is keeping us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I thank God that God never goes through anybody's Google history and screenshot your history and show it to the world. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. Instead, he forgives. I'm glad God doesn't bring up your past. I'm glad God don't call you by your mistakes. I'm glad God don't label you by your worst moments. I'm glad God doesn't bring up the things that you failed him horribly in. I'm glad that God, when he looks at me, he doesn't see everything that I've done wrong in my life. He doesn't say, you're no good at this, and you've done this, and you did this then, and why should I give you another chance? Look how many times, but every time I've been to God, he says, you're ready for a fourth chance, ready for a fifth, you're ready for a sixth, because I'm telling you, what shall separate me from the love of God? One big benefit is that God has forgiven me. I'm free from sin, y'all. Now let me tell you why that's exciting. Because every other benefit that he lists is good, but none of it would matter if this first one didn't occur. If he blessed me with food, all I am is a fed sinner. If he blessed me with clothes, all I am is a clothed sinner. If he blessed me with money, all I am is a rich sinner. The problem is not the stuff I need. It's not my circumstance. The problem is my nature. There's not a politician that could have changed my nature. There's not a song I heard that could change my nature. There's not a friend that could change my nature. No amount of money could have changed my nature. But the God of the universe said that you are worth so much that he stretched his arms out of eternity and came down and died so that my heart could be changed. God don't see my sins. God don't see my sin. God don't see my sin. God don't see my faults. God don't see my weakness. God don't even see me. All he sees is his son, Jesus. Y'all ain't hearing me in this place. God don't even see you. Hallelujah. What made you think you were such an important part of the equation? Oh my gosh, look. He forgiven all my iniquities and he healed all my... Sister Janet, we gonna preach. All of the diseases being healed don't matter if you're a sinner. Because you still got the biggest disease. You know what medical practice is trying to do? Their ultimate goal? It exists because it's trying to find a way to make people live. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life. That's why they call it medical practice. God don't need to practice. Straight up performs. God don't even have to come to a rehearsal. Oh, what somebody, oh my gosh, in this house. Listen, he says, I heal all your disease. Yeah. God is able to heal you in this life.
That's right.
But ultimately, all of your diseases will be healed. Yeah. And for the believer, don't look to the now as your only solution. Your hope is in eternity. Yeah. And if you understood that eternity is bigger than your current life, you would rejoice more for what's eternity gonna look like. One day there'll be no more cancer. One day there'll be no more diabetes. One day, and I just got a feeling that David said, it's not just physical disease, but there are some enemies that plague you beyond the physical, like bitterness. God can heal you from bitterness. God can actually make you forgive the person this Thanksgiving. You can actually serve them without slapping the... Hope he choke on it. He heals depression. He heals, I say it loud. God is still a healer. He says he heals all my disease. Look at what else God does. Look. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Anybody almost died? Anybody almost been in a pit? Another version calls this the pit. Anybody know what it's like to be in the pit? In darkness all around you, you just felt like giving up. There was nobody could talk you out of that but God. Look, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender. That's grace, y'all. Just flowing with grace. Look at what else it says. Look. He satisfied my mouth with good things. Some of you say, yeah, God give good food. I got a feeling that there's more than just bread that we live by that tastes good. It's called the word of God. And he fills, y'all in here, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. Forget all you young millennials who whisper. I want the shouting people right now. I'm here to tell you that age don't mean God is finished with you. Y'all ain't hearing with me in this place. Don't, you know, sometimes the enemy be telling me, just give up and pour your life into your kids. I ain't dead yet. I'ma help y'all, but I got to do me still. He's still working in me. Let me tell you something. You get older, you feel life is over. This society tells you once you reach a certain age, give up. That it's all about young people and the young people and inspire the young people and all the young people. Now we want to give them lower the age so they could vote at 16. I wouldn't let a 16-year-old drive my car, much less let them pick a president. Devil is a liar. That's a sidebar. That's probably going to go viral somewhere. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make to you is life is not about the young alone. As a matter of fact, the older you get, you got wisdom. You got things that you could teach people. You ever start talking in the old age and you realize, I didn't even know I knew that. I didn't even know I was that smart, because when I was that age, the person I'm talking to, I definitely didn't know that. But you start to speak and God begins to show you you know things, that you still have abilities, hallelujah. And the world tells you, rub this cream on your face and put these cucumber on your eyes and it'll help you with age. And it might help you to, you know, slow down the process, but you're getting old. But if you want to know a way that you could run and not be weary, mount up with wings as eagles. You see, the world tells you the older you get is the less of your career. God says the older you get, hallelujah, God puts strength in you. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. Don't you give up because of a number. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me in this place. Look at what it says. So that thy youth is renewed like eagles. Look at this. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He make known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Go on. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Go on. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Look at this. As far as the east is from the west, so far had he removed our sins. You know, I didn't understand this because I didn't do good in science, because I thought the east and the west, they're right there. Just like north and south. But you know you can only have a north pole and a south pole, but when it comes to east and west, they don't exist. They go on forever. Y'all ain't say nothing to me in this house. As far, in other words, when God removes it, you can't find it. Go on, go 13. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembers. And if he can remember that I'm fragile, then why do I forget that he's great? If he's always aware and deals with me from the perspective of what he's aware about me, maybe giving thanks is living from an awareness of who he is constantly in my life. And maybe if I live from that perspective, I can always be thankful. I'm done.